We love your Son. We love your Spirit, Lord. But Lord, the important thing is that you love us. And so we respond to your love. And we draw near to you to ascribe worth to you this morning. So be with us, Lord, as we look at your word, as we study your word. Lord, it's that anchor in our lives. So we turn to your word because we know it's truth. And Lord, we expect you to do a good work in our hearts and lives by your Spirit by studying your truth. So do that good work. It's our prayer. It's our cry to you, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're in 3 John. Last week we looked at 2 John. We went through the whole book last week. And we saw that one of the main points of 2 John was the Holy Spirit urges us to be wise in our dealings with those who would bring false doctrine right up to our doorsteps. And they desire to bring their false doctrine and their deception, evilness, if you will, right into our homes. And God's command to us is very clear. Our response to those that come to our door with a false gospel, John tells us by the Spirit, do not receive them. And that's in verse 10 and 11 of 2 John. Don't bring in a person, a false doctrine, into your home. And John goes further and he says, don't even greet them. Do not basically befriend them. Why do you think the Holy Spirit in his word is so harsh with such a stance in his instructions to us? Well, I think we have a tendency to glaze over, to not fully understand the sinister evilness of those that would come to our door. Now, it almost doesn't matter if they realize they're evil or not. They promote an evil doctrine. Evil according to God's word, not according to me. And the evil behavior of these cults and their false doctrines are they are attempting to rob you of eternal life. Scripture is very plain as to how we obtain or receive eternal life. It's through faith in Jesus and his work upon the cross. But these cults that will come to your door, they relegate Jesus to a non-God status. That is not only offensive to God, it's a lie. It's untrue. And it's evil. Can you think of anything more evil or more destructive to any believer than to deceive him or her about eternal life? Eternal life is a big issue to the Godhead. And God declares you are evil when you receive anyone, or when you deceive anyone, I should say, about Jesus, you're evil. Shows you the world we live in, because we relegate Jesus into a lot of things as a people, as a world. We call him a good teacher. We call him a man beyond his years, you know, a man of understanding, rabbi, all these different things. But if you don't believe and if you don't make Jesus as God, you're evil. Simple. You're evil. John said in verse 7 of 2 John, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. We are to always understand, fellow believers, sin And evilness is out to destroy us. It's not out to give you a bad day. It's out to destroy you. And we're not to embrace sin. We're not to coddle sin. We're not to toy with sin. We're told to depart from sin. Yet many believers will openly court sin, and in the case of these deceivers, they will even invite these deceivers into their home because they sort of feel sorry for them because they're misguided. God declares, don't do it. And God's word is clear on that, and hopefully I have been clear on that. So let's look this morning at 3 John. We'll read the whole chapter. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified to the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I have many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly and shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. And thus we have read all of John's little epistles. We have three persons or individuals mentioned in this short little chapter. You have Gaius, you have Demetrius, and they're the good guys. They're the fellow believers. And then you have Diotrephes, who is a self-absorbed, bad pastor or overseer. John, as an elder, writes to Gaius. Now, Gaius was a common name in that area, in that day. It's sort of like Mike around here. Half our fellowship seems to be named Mike. But hey, so Gaius and Mike are, you know, same. There are four Gaiuses mentioned in the New Testament, and I'm not going to try to sort them out for you. It's kind of like married. I don't try to sort out all the Marys either. Needless to say, this Gaius is beloved by John. Verse 1, beloved Gaius, whom I love. John prays for Gaius to prosper in all things, and he prays for him to be in health. And prosper, he wants Gaius to prosper in the same manner as his soul does prosper. Now, think about that for a moment. John could be praying for trials and tribulations in Gaius's life. Why would he do that? Because the last thing most of us need is bigger and better. And we associate that with prosperity. John, He does pray for good health for Gaius. But we have learned, or if you haven't learned, you're in the process of learning, if you're a believer, that when we go through spiritual difficulties, that's times of spiritual growth. When our faith is being tested, when everything seems to be going wrong, that's when we grow, because we learn to trust in God. John recognizes the truth of God. As a servant of God, difficult times are for our betterment. Now, that's something you don't want me to repeat, but I will. Difficult times are usually for our betterment. And reports have come back to John that Gaius walks in truth. And what a good thing for the Apostle John to hear. It causes John to rejoice. He's glad. He's happy. His ministry is having an impact. And now I'm going to ask a rhetorical question, so no shouting out. What causes you and I to rejoice? John rejoices of the good report that he hears from Gaius. Do you rejoice, say, when you get a good raise or a bonus at work? Or do you rejoice when you passed a difficult test or exam? Do you rejoice when your team won a big game? Or perhaps you've been the winner of a paid vacation in Bermuda or something? Or do you rejoice when your children walk in truth? The truth being Jesus. Well, I think we do. Gaius was known for his hospitality. Gaius is known to be a supporter of those that are in ministry. And believe me, all of us that are in ministry need support, whether it's financial, physical, or prayerful. We need support. And Gaius is that kind of guy. He's one that supports those that are in ministry. The church is to be a storehouse. We Christians are called to support the church. We're to help those who are in ministry. And I'm glad to report that we do that as a body, as a fellowship. Gaius, again, he's known for his hospitality. He opens up his home. And in those days, you didn't have Motel 6 or whatever. If you were traveling, you had to depend on people to open their home to you. And Gaius is the kind of person that opens up his home to those that are in ministry, perhaps traveling ministers or missionaries. And he sends them out on their mission. So Gaius receives commendation in the Word of God for his ministry of supporting. I recently heard that it takes 6 support workers or people on the behind the lines to support 1 soldier on the front line. That's 6-to-1 ratio. And those 6 are needed. As a church, we do support missionaries. Go down this hallway over here. We've got bulletin boards on both sides of the hallway. And there's missionaries that we support. And I'm glad that we do this. But as a church and as a believer, we are to be givers, if you will. And we're to find a way to be a giver. And it's not only money that we're talking about here. You know, you could be an encourager. You can come alongside of someone and be an encouragement to them. You can be a person who supports others in prayer, and that is needed. But find a way, as a believer, to be giving. We need to find a way to be giving. We need to find a method so prosperity can abound in us. If you want God to bless you and bring prosperity, and I'm not just talking financial, but if you want God's blessing upon your life, you have to be a giver in some way. You got to be supporting each other. You got to be praying for one another. You got to be encouraging. You got to be serving to receive God's blessings. Gaius is commended by John for faithfully serving and sending forth those that are in ministry. And there's something that sometimes we will overlook if we're not careful. Notice that to send forth workers, we're to send them forth in a worthy manner unto God. We're to do it in such a way that it pleases God. I have a little pet peeve. What a surprise. No, I'm going to share it to you. Not our church, but those other churches, you know. People tend to give their worn-out junk to the church as if we're a secondhand thrift store. Sorry, they do that. Why, Pastor, that's a beautiful chair. It's only missing one leg. Well, that's great, yeah. Or they'll donate a car that doesn't run. Well, whippy, thank you. We are to give our best to the Lord. The idea that ministry can operate on hand-me-downs, that's wrong. It's just wrong. I can't dignify it any other way. It's even sinful. Or expecting the church to be cheap in what it does. Now, we really try to do our best as good stewards here, but we never want to be cheap. We can be thorough, we can be thrifty, but we don't want to be cheap. King David said, "I will not offer to God anything that costs me nothing." David understood the value of sacrificial giving. And for a church, a minister, a pastor, a missionary is not to be supported by Gentiles. What does that mean? It's not to be supported by the sinful world. That's what the Gentile meaning is there. The church is to support the church. A few years back, these beautiful ceiling tiles we have needed to be replaced. And I knew a man that was in the business of hanging, you know, what they call these drop ceilings. And so I went to him and asked him for a price on 400 of these ceiling tiles. Well, this guy, he wanted to give them to the church. I had to tell him no. Because this man was of questionable character. I did not want us as a fellowship receiving anything from this man that I had my doubts about his walk with the Lord. Now, he professed to be a Christian, but I didn't see any fruit in his life that proclaimed him to be a Christian. And so I had to say thank you, but no thank you. Why? We, the body, are to buy those tiles. We're not to let somebody come in and rob us of our blessing. And we got our tiles up, and aren't they pretty? Yes, they are. But God's people and God's church are to be supported by God's people, not Gentiles or sinful people. And there are a lot of churches now that lose qualified ministers because they won't pay their minister a decent wage. And that's just the matter of fact of it. In fact, I was talking to my cousin this past week, and they're pastors moving on. And it's because they won't pay him. He's got to go find a job where that pays. Now, you don't want to throw out figures, but they were offering him $25,000 a year. Can you live on $25,000 a year? I mean, seriously. And they lost their pastor because they wouldn't pay him. We have a responsibility to be sending out missionaries and workers, and we are to support them in a manner that's worthy of God's call upon their life. And unfortunately, there's some saints who feel that they're the ones to determine how a missionary or a church worker is supported. Be careful, because your own prosperity may depend upon how you support others. We are to be cheerful givers, not, what's that new program, hoarders? And the Gaius receives a good report from John, because Gaius was doing that, and he's commended in Scripture. But unfortunately, the next guy is not commended, and that's Diotrephes. Diotrephes was apparently a church leader, probably a pastor, who is singled out by John as how not to be a pastor. Gaius, a good example, a good steward. Diotrephes, note what he does, and note the love of his life. Diotrephes loves the position of preeminence. Preeminence simply means being above or beyond others. Diotrephes is a person who, some way or somehow, he lets you know that he's more important than you are, at least in his own mind. And this can be done in a variety of ways. We've all seen it done. However, when you take on the position of a pastor, it means minister, and that means servant. A true servant is not preeminent above anyone in his fellowship. The Apostle Paul, he wrote many of his letters, and many of his letters began with Paul, a bondservant of Christ. A bondservant happened to be the lowest of the servants. As a servant of Christ, wanting to be a better servant, I look for other servants in our fellowship to serve this body of believers. We serve by teaching, we serve by praying, but we also serve in a practical way. We vacuum the carpets. We take out the trash. We mop the floors. These are everyday duties of a servant. We servants, we try to keep a clean, warm, friendly environment here. People can come in and worship and not be distracted by, you know, dirty floors and, you know, unpainted walls and that kind of thing. We try to have a cup of coffee back there for you, and sometimes we even have cookies, but hey. But a Diotrephes, he is a guy that you will never catch holding a vacuum cleaner or a mop. And a Diotrephes, he will gossip. He will use malicious words to slander anyone he considers a threat to his position of preeminence. A Diotrephes, according to John, will even excommunicate, put out of the church, his opponents or his resistance. A Diotrephes will not recognize fellow workers or ministers. A Diotrephes will find a way to point out how important he is in some manner. And he will drop clues as how blessed you are to have him as pastor. Because you know he went to the right schools and he knows the right people. And that Diotrephes will always bring attention to himself and unfortunately away from Christ. Have you ever left a church service and commented on how charming or clever the speaker was? But you have to ask yourself now, were you taught the Word of God? Or were you entertained? That's the question. Were you taught God's Word? Or were you entertained? And if you were simply entertained, you may have encountered a Diotrephes. Now, I wish that I was above wanting you people to like me. Would you all just give me a hug? No. I do want you to like me. I think we're all that way. And I want you to think I'm scholarly, yes. And I want you to think I'm a good teacher. But most of all, I want you to leave here having encountered Jesus Christ and His Word. And if you do that, then I've done my job. Because you see, the Word of God does not return void. I can't promise you that about my sermons. But the Word of God does not return void. So I'm to be teaching God's Word. So we have Gaius and Diotrephes. Two examples. One good example, one bad example. Gaius, beloved church worker, servant of God, supported those in ministry. Diotrephes, self-serving, egotistical, self-absorbed. And then John tells us about Demetrius. And he doesn't say a lot about Demetrius, but he says he is a man of truth. What a good thing to have said about you. He's a man of truth. He has a good witness and a good testimony among the brethren. I'll take that. That'll suffice. Demetrius confirms to the people that John, the beloved, John the apostle, John the author of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, that John speaks the truth. He encourages John to continue in the way of truth. We all need those kind of people in our lives. Now, I haven't always been this self-secure, well-adjusted person that stands before you, but I've tried to be. No. I enjoy hearing good sermons as well as the next guy does, okay? But if I get caught up in that, I can get misled. I can become a Diotrephes. What I truly appreciate is hearing comments like, as you leave, well, at least we heard the Word of God today. If you can say that when you leave here, I've done my job. And then John closes this little epistle. And it's the theme of all three of the epistles. He says, know God. Know you are saved. And love God and love one another. How can I add to that? How can I add to that? If I can get you to stand, we'll close in prayer. Father God, I thank you for the Apostle John. Thank you for his writings. I thank you for the work that you did in his life by your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, I want to see you do those same kind of works in my life and in the lives of your people. Lord, we want to be the Gaius. We want to be the Demetrius, Lord. We don't want to find ourselves being self-absorbed like Diotrephes. We don't want to be building our own kingdom. We want to be promoting your kingdom, Lord. So, Lord, do a work in our heart by your Spirit. And Lord, when we latch on to attitudes of self-importance, Lord, bust us. We pray you just stop us right in our tracks, Lord, and help us to understand and realize that we're just a sinner saved by grace. Help us, Lord Jesus. And let us be a people, let us be a fellowship that's about your word. And let us do what your Spirit tells us. Let us know you, Lord. Let us be secure in our salvation. Let us love you, Lord. And let us love one another. We ask you to bring this about in our hearts and lives. We pray for this coming week, Lord. Pray that it would just be a good week in your kingdom, Lord. We pray that you would open doors for us to be doing good works. And then, Lord, by your grace, show us that open door and let us walk through it, Lord. For you do have good things planned for us. And we want to walk and we want to be doing those good things. So help us, Lord. Make us cognizant of the fact that you're always with us and that you love us. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So with pleasure, I offer you a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.